Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, Sound Opinions listeners, if you support us on Patreon, you get to listen to our podcast ad-free on Patreon.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is start time. Are you ready for start time?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we'll be talking with Holly Mullineaux, the bassist for one of our favorite bands, originally a buried treasure, Greg Kot, Goat Girl. Plus, we'll review the new album, Voyage, from ABBA. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. We'll also share a new batch of buried treasures, great music flying under the radar. But before we get further into the show, we wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the tragedy that occurred at Travis Scott's Astroworld Festival in Houston, Texas, on Friday, November 5th.
As of this taping on November 9th, Greg, 8 people have died and hundreds more were injured when the crowd of 50,000 people got out of control during Scott's performance. One of the victims was just 14 years old, and a 10-year-old is currently in an induced coma trying to recover from his injuries.
You know, as horrific as this incident is, it's sadly not the first music festival to go terribly awry. It was just this past summer that we did a show on the preventable tragedy of Woodstock 99 and some of the lessons the music industry still has not learned when it comes to crowd safety.
We also had a show in May about venue accessibility, Greg, which may have prevented some of this overcrowding. We're going to keep covering the topic of concert safety, security, and responsibility because it's crucial to our enjoyment and celebration of music. We'll have more on this on the show soon, so keep listening.
Now, on to what we love, sharing great music with you.
Absolutely, Greg. We are constantly getting bombarded with emails and streams and snail mails and sometimes people walking up to us and handing us music that they would like us to highlight because it's flying under the radar. They know we are voracious listeners, and we do love these Buried Treasures shows where we can share these discoveries with our listeners. And I'm going to go first. Greg, when you get an email from a young band that says, "We're writing to you ourselves, this is not our dads," and they say, "Look, we love Sound Opinions," and they obviously do, because there was a couple lines in there about how much I talk about drumming.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, these are, listen, you know, we're doing all of this ourselves, the band wrote, and we are all teens, and we are about to put out our second full-length album. Four young women in a band called Neptune's Core. We had mentioned them briefly because they were on that compilation album, Situation Chicago 2, trying to help out venues that were hurt during COVID. But I'm listening, it's like, wow, there's no way this quartet, you know, their age belies the sophistication of the songwriting and the instrumentation, that classic, you know, alternative era, delicate, fragile, quiet moment exploding into loud dynamics. You know, the second album is called Evolving. It is just out. I'm going to play a track called Turning Red. The group is Neptune's Core.
It's too hard to breathe. When you're next to me, I can't feel my
That is Neptune's Core, Turning Red. The new album is evolving. I hear some Soccer Mommy there, some Snail Mail, and I don't hear kids in their teens.
Yeah. Well, it's great that you brought up a teen band because the artist that I want to play next is kind of right in that vein. There's a lot of young women making great music out there, not just Neptune's Core, but Hannah Vu, who is an artist who has just made her first album. I want to play a track from that. She's been releasing music since 2018. Started out at age 17, getting a record out, a couple EPs in 2019. The new one, her first full length, is called Public Storage. It's a funny name, okay? Public Storage. What does that mean? That's kind of a dull name for a debut album.
Not as bad as real estate or dry cleaning.
But when you contextualize it, you know, she's a LA person. Was very transient, trying to settle down and find an apartment that worked. L.A. is a transient town. You know, age 21, where she's at now, she's just coming out of a very transient period as a young person, trying to figure out who she is. Throw COVID into the middle of that, and you've got a recipe for some serious soul searching, and that's what's going on in this record. You know, she said, you know, there's kind of a couple of metaphors at work here. Public storage being, you know, this big kind of boxy thing that's sitting outside her apartment. And all these people's lives are being compartmentalized in these little units inside there. Mm. Same thing with an album, right? An album does basically the same kind of thing. But also the kind of the soullessness of it. These people moving around, dumping stuff off, moving somewhere else. It kind of speaks to a lot of the songs on this record. Here's one of them. It's called Gutter from Hannah Vu on Sound Opinions. Hannah Vu with a track called Gutter on Sound Opinions, my first buried treasure.
I thought she needed to get out more. I thought it was a little twee bedroom poppy.
You should hear the earlier ones if you want bedroom pop. Actually, she's kind of opened up the sound here a little bit. This, you know, I love the heaviness of the guitar on that. I think the production, if you listen to the entire record, it's got different moods, different modes, different textures. So she is expanding beyond that.
I did, and I really like the soulfulness of her voice on some tracks. I'm going to go in a different direction, Greg. I'm heading to Walla Walla, Washington, where the band Chastity Belt came together in 2010. Another group of four women. You know, Fuzz. I love me some Fuzz. Washington State always loves Fuzz. This song, Fear, is a new single from the group. They're gearing up for a new album. And the leader, Lydia Lund, wrote it about, quote, the ambient terror of trying to communicate with other people. And I think that that's been haunting all of us as we slowly, trepidatiously venture back into the world. You know, how do I talk to people? How do I act in public again? And she was in the middle of COVID in her parents' house recording this song and screaming about fear over this ferocious music. And, of course, she's tracking vocals, so her parents could just hear her going on and on about fear. And mom runs in and says, are you all right? What are you afraid of? Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love the creepy, creepy vibe of this song. And I love the fuzz. Did I mention the fuzz?
You did mention that. And there's a lot of it on this.
Chastity Belt with Fear. Chastity Belt, Fear is the new single. They have gotten some buzz in the underground, Greg. NPR even did something with them, but we haven't talked about them, and now I am a fan.
You know, good as excuse as any to play a good record. I'm with you on that point. Some people might say the next record I'm going to play is a little bit more than just a buried treasure. Obviously, the band that I'm going to refer to is called Beak out of the UK, and it is led by one Jeff Barrow. People know him from Portishead. What's perhaps new, I read a lot of interviews with Jeff Barrow over the last few years, and you're reading between the lines, and you kind of get the sense that Portishead is probably done. They're not going to make any more records, or nothing's really appearing to be imminent. It's been about, it's been 12 years, 13 years since the last Portishead
record.
Well,
I mean, they were great records, and they kind of did what they were going to do.
Right, phenomenal stuff. So Jeff Barrow went on to perform this, to form this little side project, which he insists is not a project anymore. It's his main focus. And they were making some esoteric records along the way. You know, a little kraut rock, a little bit of deep electronic club music vibe, very few vocals. Slowly but surely, the melodies and the vocal lines have started to creep back in. He's collaborating with some really talented people. Billy Fuller, who is the guitar player in Robert Plant's Sensational Space Shifters. And then there's Will Young, a third member of this group, Beak, who's in this band. Well, actually, it's a solo project, Moon Gangs. And they released a really good record a few years ago, kind of ambient sci-fi. Mm. So you've got these guys who, with all these serious underground credentials, forming a group. And now they're about to put out a new album, which will be about their fifth, I believe, since 2009. And here's a track from it called Oh No. That's No as in K-N-O-W. Oh No, from Beak on Sound Opinions. That is Oh No from Beak. Jim and I are going to have a few more buried treasures down the road here, but we want to know if you have any, our listeners. If you have one or two, leave us a message in our Facebook group or in our Patreon community. You can also leave us a voice message on our website at soundopinions.org. Coming up, we're going to share more buried treasures on Sound Opinions. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know when you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. Let's pick up where we left off with more buried treasures. I believe I am up next. And I'm going to talk about a band called Witch Fever. Now, I love any band with a name like that right off the top, right? But, you know, here is a group that started out their first single, Greg, they recorded in 2019 with none other than Alan McGee, that Manchester madman behind My Bloody Valentine and Oasis and Primal Scream. Now they have an actual full EP that is dropping called Reincarnate. And so, okay, Witch Fever, and I see Alan McGee, and I see You know, on this record, we were trying to split the difference between Black Sabbath and Savages. And I'm like, I don't know that such a thing would ever be possible. And I play the title track to reincarnate the EP. And yes, they pull it off. Again, four young women. And they say their manifesto is, we represent an honest voice about breaking out of the indoctrination of our society and all oppressive institutions. I am so there. I am so there. With feminist anger, they say. I love the way this song starts out as a sort of fractured post-punk noise fest that, yes, is heavily inspired by Savages, and then goes into full-on Sabbath for this break in the middle. It should make no sense, but it's like my favorite thing right now. Witch Fever. Witch Fever. I want to see this band live so bad.
You know, it's probably my favorite record that you picked of this bunch. And
you haven't had much to say about what I'm throwing your
this
way.
This is good. And a hint to all bands, just put Sorceress or Witch or Coven in your band name, and Jim DeRogatis will listen to it.
He
might even review it on the show.
I will listen to it, but it has much to live up to.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
It
has your to standards be... are high for the Witch band.
Yes, absolutely.
But you do tend to be attracted to that...
the dark side.
Name. That's yes. Exactly right. My next track is going to be from another veteran artist that we have never really focused on in the show, which I am, you know, it pains me to say that because I think she's extremely talented. Julie Doiron, she's an artist out of New Brunswick, you know, which one of those provinces in Canada.
Mm.
And she's been in a band called Eric's Trip, which you and I remember from the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
She's been around.
That was a great band.
Yeah. In addition to Eric's Trip, she was a vocalist bassist in there. She's released about 10-plus solo albums. I've lost track of all the ones. There's various solo albums coming out over the years. And she's got another one coming out this year, which is very good. Or at least from what I've heard, is very good. The track that I'm going to play is the lead-off track on the record. It's a song about renewal. You know, we're not hearing a lot of optimism in a lot of the songs that we're playing. And in the last couple of years, you can understand why people are going through a tough time, and it's being reflected in the kind of music they're making. This song just hit me the right way. It's a great to hear a song where somebody's expressing something like, my life is changing right now. I've met someone that's helping me realize that I can start over again on a lot of levels. And it was just a beautiful sentiment, well delivered. She's got these kind of very straightforward but pleasant voice, good sense of melody, and a great sentiment in this song. Julie Doiron with You Gave Me the Key on Sound Opinions.
There was never a plan. No need to explain. And here I am, starting over again, from the eyes of a baby, from the eyes of a bird, from the tops of the trees, from the curbs in the street.
That is Julie Doiron with You Gave Me the Key on Sound Opinions. Jim, you and I have one more track each.
We do, Greg. When we're offering the invite to people on Facebook and Patreon and voicemail and everything else to give us your buried treasures picks, we are not just making that up. I have to thank Tom Kovanko. I don't know him until he started writing me saying, you've got to listen to this band, The Soap Girls. That is soap and girls, but there's no space between soap girls. All right, so I got to listen to this. And of course, I listen to it, and it's like, it's blowing me away. And then I'm going on YouTube. We are talking about two French-born sisters, Camille and Nomi Debray, who live in South Africa. And in the time of COVID, exacerbated by the difficulties of getting from South Africa to tour Europe, which they have done frequently before the world shut down, they've been doing these insane streaming shows. It's just the two sisters with some canned backing tracks, a lot of acoustic guitar. You know, it's like performance art and makeup and weirdness in some sort of girl bat cave, you know, surrounded by giant trolls. And so, I mean, literally, you know, you got to look this up. None of which would matter if the songs weren't fantastic. They are angry. They are ferocious. They are tuneful in their punk assault. And they have these legions of followers like Tom. The fans are called the Soap Suds of the Soap Girls, right? Mm-hmm. So they want to come to America. They're like, if you play them on Sound Opinions, maybe they'll come, Tom says. And I'm like, I don't know about that, Tom. But I love this song. Now, this is an older song. Their last full album came out in 2017, but they've spent the last year and a half working on a new record. I'm there the minute it drops, but I think this is as good an introduction as I could possibly offer. Soap Girls, weird South African art punk strangeness. Of course, the song is called Society's Reject. Soap Girls, I think the album is called, the last album, Society's Rejects Plural. The song is Reject Singular. But, you know, that's their...
We got the
outside
idea.
The margins, yeah. Yes, is where what I'm trying to say.
A lot of outside the margins people today. You know, we've been playing some artists who feel like older than their years. You know, like they, there's a maturity about the music that they're playing. And I felt the same way about Mathilde, the next artist I'm going to play. She's a woman from Mathilde Brown from Atlanta. And I found out about her years ago. I have relatives in Georgia, and there was a college radio station that was playing some pretty cool stuff late at night. And she was one of those artists. And I was informed that she was making these bedroom records in around 2017. She ended up touring with Jack White. Jack White, who was... you know, a player, is a, from what I understand, yeah. Seemed like a pretty important figure.
Rock star, dare we say?
And took her out on a tour 2018. There's a darkness to that voice, a maturity to that voice that's really alluring. And the song that I'm going to play, those words, I think, to me, it isn't spelled out in so many ways, but it to me, it's a critique of mansplaining. Mm. And it's about a woman who's tired of, you know, there's some great lines here. What a silly thing to do on Sunday. And how many hours have I lost listening to you, bub? You know, it's that kind of thing. Like, you know, you're trying to explain to me what's wrong with my life or what I should be doing better. And I've had it. I'm done.
I'm sensing, you know, a football game on in the background.
And it's not like she's raging at the guy. She's just, you know, I'm done. I'm walking away from this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I just love the tone. I love the way it's expressed. I love the fact that it's kind of unconventional in the way it's expressing it. And I love the dark hue. This is a woman in full, you know, like she's a formidable person, but she's not, you know, wearing it on her sleeve saying, I'm going to beat you up, buddy, you know, for being a jerk. She's just going to walk away from it. Mathilde, with those words on Sound Opinions. Those words on Sound Opinions, that is coming from her forthcoming album.
Good stuff, Greg. Do you have a buried treasure we need to hear? Leave a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org, or tell other listeners about it in our Facebook group. When we come back, a conversation with bassist Holly Mullineaux of Goat Girl and words I never thought I'd say, we're going to review the new ABBA album. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. This week, we're talking with a band we first played as a buried treasure this time last year, Goat Girl. Their new album, On All Fours, was on both of our mid-year best of lists. On mine, it was number one.
That's saying something, Greg. One thing about this band is they are ultra-democratic. Everyone has an equal say. That's how we wound up talking to the bassist, the newest member of the group. Holly Mulineaux joined Goat Girl on bass just before they recorded On All Fours, which they wrapped up just as the world ended when COVID hit. Then the group's youngest member, Ellie, was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which took 6 months of chemotherapy. That would have sidelined the group for much of 2020, even if the world hadn't ended with COVID. And it is such a shame because this record is extraordinary, and I'm told they are even more exciting live.
The timing of Ellie finding out she was really poorly was actually when we were mixing On All Fours. So we'd actually recorded the whole thing already, which in a way was quite lucky because we were all, you know, having a great time in high spirits, recorded a record, we were all buzzing from it, and then we just got this really awful news, and it was just devastating, and we didn't really know what was gonna happen after that.
How's Ellie doing?
Yeah, she's in remission at the moment. She has been for maybe a year now, which is just mad. Time's flying at the moment, you know. We've just, everything's been on hold for so long. She's doing good. She's right. We're all, you know, writing music, playing gigs again.
Well, you know, if you listen to On All Fours compared to the debut, it's a different record, right? I mean, you guys took some chances. There was a different approach, I understand, from the recording process. I mean, obviously you weren't there for the first one.
Yeah.
But that sounded like it was pretty much the band in the room recording, and it was kind of a live and pretty feral type of record. And this one's a little bit more structured. Did you know that going in? Was the band discussing, hey, we're going to take a little bit of a different approach here? What was the atmosphere like going into making this album?
The record is very different, but I think I was lucky in terms of when I joined, we started from scratch. And before, the first record were songs that Lottie had written, mainly Lottie as a teenager in her bedroom. And then, you know, created the band with Ellie and Naima, and they fleshed it out and wrote their parts, and there were songs that had been around for a really long time. They played them a million times, so they just came in, played them, and it's great, and it's totally, like you said, it's raw and it's really exciting. Whereas this one, it was like, okay, we're done with those songs now, we're starting completely from scratch, we can do whatever we want. So it took a really long time, but we weren't, you know, restricting ourselves in any way. Like, we can all play different instruments to like varying levels of success. Mm-hmm. Like Rosie's an amazing keys player, you know, Lottie's really great at bass, Ellie plays synth really well. So I kind of just turned up and I had a couple of synths, which was something, because I've been playing music on my own for a little while, and that's just something that I was kind of interested in. It took probably like a year to write it, but it was all very equal and it was all very from scratch. So I felt quite lucky to be included in that, having just joined as well. You know, they made me feel really welcome, and luckily it worked. I think I'm really proud of it, and yeah.
That's interesting to me, because you mentioned that Lottie wrote the first record. It sounded like everybody got a piece of this one in terms of the writing. It you don't normally see that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we all definitely have things to offer, and Lottie obviously can see that, and she's the opposite of a dictator, you know, if you know anything about us and our politics and all of that stuff. That's kind of the ethos that we believe in, and you know, I think it just made sense. And I guess it's kind of hard sometimes to ditch your ego. It's hard for all of us when you're writing together, but I think we all firmly are focused on the same goal of writing music that we all like, and luckily when something's good, our egos just are put to one side, and it's good, and we just jam it out until we're happy with it. Yeah.
Well, it seems, Holly, that there also was a shift in terms of the theme of the second album being much broader. You know, the first album, as you said, you know, Goat Girl is coming from a place of political consciousness, anti-racism, anti-misogyny, anti-homophobia. And not that it was obvious or pedantic on the first album, but, you know, the targets were kind of clearly in sight. This album, with a song like PTSD, discussing the environment in the crack, depression and anxiety feels.
Please don't leave me alone, staring out the window. I know I should get out the house, make myself useful.
It was, you know, that old cliche, the personal is political. But it seemed like you were digging deeper to look at some of the root causes and the reactions to what you've been fighting from day one. Let's throw Brexit in there, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that was a shift. It feels a little bit more reflective. It's a bit more internal. It's a bit more, I guess, when you're a teenager and you're mad, you know what you're mad about, but you're just reacting to that in that moment, perhaps. Whereas now, you know, we're a few years older. I mean, I'm a few years older even than the rest of the band, but
I was wondering, so yeah. they began playing at like 16.
Yeah, exactly. I think, yeah, Goat Girl basically started when Lottie and Ellie and that were like sort of 15, 16. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess it's changed because they're 24 now, so mm-hmm. It's just it's kind of a shift from, wait, this stuff is happening. Why is it happening? Like, it's more of a kind of considered reflection of the bigger picture, and I guess trying to understand that and where we fit within that. And I think that's kind of what's going on.
Well, you know, I've read some interviews. Everybody in the band, it's an egalitarian band. Everybody's been doing some interviews. And it is amazing, given having created this incredible record, and then the world ending, and everybody going into lockdown, and Ellie's health woes, right? 2020 was a lousy year for every single one of us. But in particular, I can imagine having created this work you're so proud of and not being able to do anything with it for a year, plus worrying about your friend and bandmate. It's amazing how good spirits you're all at.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 2020 was a weird year for all of us. There's also personal struggles that we were going through. Like, I moved out of London, Ellie moved out of London. And weirdly, like kind of what you're saying, we sat on this thing, but I feel actually so much closer with each other from the last year, even though we weren't spending physical time together, we weren't physically writing together. We were sort of catching up with each other over Zoom, and you know, I feel much closer. We're much more open with each other, and I feel like a really connected unit, and I feel really excited to be like energized and positive and grateful to be going back out and doing this thing now. We just really want to go and do it. And it was a bit scary at first, but it's kind of surprising how quickly you just click back into like that world. It's almost like, oh wait, this is what I do. This is what we used to spend all of our time doing. This is what we love doing. And it was just so nice to see, you know, everyone in the crowd dancing or like clapping along or like singing some of the lyrics to a record, you know, that we've never seen that happen before, because we haven't played it yet.
It's like the record I've listened to the most this year, because, you know, part of the reason
great.
It's so darn good. And it also came out very early in the year, and we were still on lockdown, and we needed something good to listen to at that time. So,
that's so nice to hear. Thank you.
And it was such a change, Holly. I have to say, I loved the first record. I wasn't prepared for the second record, what it was going to sound like. I thought, wow, this is kind of a shift for them. Did you guys sort of, you know, realize that you were perhaps, you know, tempting fate? You know, you've established yourselves with this one thing, and now you're doing something that's quite a bit different in a lot of ways. What was the thinking along those lines?
I'm really glad that we didn't second guess ourselves. We didn't try and create any specific thing. We didn't say this needs to be more like this, or this needs to be different. I think it was more just of an accurate representation of our taste in music kind of at the time and how that's developed. I mean, we all listen to like quite a lot of electronic music and pop music, jazz music. So it was kind of like a more accurate representation of what we're into, I guess, but it still feels like it's always going to be that. I guess our agendas are kind of there, and that comes across in the lyrics. And I think, you know, like Rosie's got an incredible, very recognizable, in my opinion, way of playing drums. Lottie has a very distinct way of playing guitar, and Ellie the same. So it's just it's going to sound that way, but I think it's just being more often influenced by like what we're into. We've had quite kind of grand plans for it, in terms of we don't ever limit ourselves to be like, oh, there's only four of us, so we can't add this or add that. We had Lottie's dad came in and played some viola on some of the tracks, and I think that really added something.
Let's stop you there.
Yeah.
Rosie is an extraordinary drummer. Right?
Yeah,
I say that as a drummer myself. So you're coming in as the bassist. How much of the new groove emphasis on the new record would you take credit for?
Some of it, but I think we all wrote bass lines on the records, you know. But yeah, Lottie's also a really great bass player. Ellie wrote the bass line for Baddie Baba. And yeah, we did just switch it all around.
And the fact that you guys were all switching around these instruments, I mean, you mentioned Ellie was playing the bass on Baddie Baba, and I think you're on drums on that track, right?
I can't remember. I think on Baddie I was originally playing keys. I was playing synth. Baddie, baddie, baddie. I wrote the drums for Jazz in the Supermarket. That was quite fun.
Okay.
And Ellie was, I can't remember, Ellie was on guitar. Rosie was on guitar, I think. Rosie was on keys for that, actually, and Lottie was on bass. So every single one has got like a different arrangement in it. But the thing is, we wrote it that way, and then basically when we went to record, we taught everything back to ourselves, because we wanted to, you know, play to our strengths, and, you know, Rosie's obviously the best drummer and things like that. So we were just kind of using it as a creative process and then teaching it back, and then obviously that's the way we do it live as well, because otherwise it would be a nightmare just, you know, switching every song. But yeah, it's cool.
You know, I wanted to ask you a macro question about music in the UK right now. I was reading some comments that Ellie made about the first record, actually. She said, for me, I feel like it came out at a time when there weren't many non-men creating that kind of music. It was refreshing to have a non-male guitar sound with the kind of vocals we have. You know, this was, you know, her statement about the feeling of UK rock at that time. sort of this post-punk influence starting to creep into certain bands. You know, you see, you know, Shame and Idols and all these different bands, the Fontaines, DC, you know, we're Irish band, obviously, but still the same part of the same group of bands. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about what Ellie said? And has it changed at all since that debut came out?
I personally listen to, you know, like a lot of music that's not just a band of four white dudes. That's just kind of my, it's kind of my taste in music. It's just I'm just not really into that kind of thing. And I feel like there's kind of a sound that goes with that. I can't remember exactly if that was taken from an interview that Ellie did where she was basically being asked about the state of sort of punk music in the UK or punk music in London. And I think what we were saying about it, because we talked about it together as a group before Ellie went and did it, was that punk music still exists, but I think it's just changed its sound a bit. I think it's just changed its format a bit. I think it was traditionally associated with heavy riffs and guitar music, and like you said, so, you know, that kind of, maybe that's morphing into the post-punky thing now, but for me it's actually way more radical. There are artists out there like Little Sims, who's, you know, a rapper in London, and she's got something to say, and her attitude to me is encapsulates punk way more than something that's been done already. And I don't think punk is necessarily tied to like a sound,
it's an attitude.
I think it's an attitude, and I think people's resources change. I think, you know, we're now living in a world where people make music maybe primarily on computers or with software rather than four people in a room. I think punk will always exist in the way that there will always be people that are like pushing the boundaries or trying to sort of fight for peoples who are struggling and have something to say within their music. And I think, I think that's out there. And I think that is predominantly, maybe in my opinion, not led so much by cis white men, and actually more by people with marginalized genders and people who are just still fighting for equality, basically.
Well, and also it seems to me like Goat Girl has established this over their first couple of albums already, that you feel it's important to say something with a platform you have. A lot of your songs address serious topics. These are not cliche songs. They are very specific, very personal, and at the same time very outward looking about social situation, political situation. Bands can change things. It sounds like you're saying we can help move the dial a little bit in the way the world works. And that seems to be like essential to the punk ethos. You know, the best, greatest punk bands and post-punk bands were all saying something, right? Unspoken, perhaps, but it seems like something that you all share in Goat Girl.
Yeah, I think so. And I like to think it's a genuine thing. It's not even necessarily always a conscious thing. I think it's like really important for us to be honest in our music and be genuine and be authentic. And I guess these are the kind of things that are on our minds and that concern us. And I think, that's kind of just how it comes out.
Has the band ever suffered a backlash? I mean, PTSD tells a story of just a... But that wasn't Goat Girl focus. That was just a jerk, you know, mistreating Rosie. But I wonder, has there been blowback?
Yeah, I mean, that track particularly kind of takes this very specific, like, personal incident, and then it kind of broadens it out and considers sort of gender politics as a whole. And I think that's really cool. And I think a lot of the songs kind of do that and speak to, like, larger things. But I mean, it is tricky to kind of navigate this kind of landscape and kind of stay true to ourselves, and then also live under capitalism and exist within the music industry. You know, it's just kind of... we're trying to navigate that and figure that out all the time. And there have been a few things that have happened, or, you know, it's sort of in one breath we're told, you know, say thanks to Spotify for putting us on this playlist. But then, okay, well, I'll do that. But then I did another story immediately after saying, now, please fairly pay us the royalties that you should have done.
Right.
It's just, you know, how do you do it? You know, you don't want to completely back down and just sort of go along with it to make your life easier, but we need to stay true to ourselves, and we need to there's been times where Lottie and Rosie were interviewed about something for the BBC and loads of it was cut out. The whole message of the interview was completely changed and the pictures that were used were not the ones that were agreed and things like that. And it's just sort of trying to be true to yourself, be honest, but then coming up against sometimes obstacles that people don't necessarily want to promote that or they don't want to hear it. And it is tricky. It is tricky, but we'll keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to watch out who's filtering it, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. We've been talking to Holly Hole, Holly Mulliner. Why did you come up with the Holly Hole?
Oh, I just had to think of something, you know. I was on the spot.
Thank you, Holly, so much.
All right. Thank you guys so much for having me. All right.
You bet.
Have a good day.
You're welcome. Thanks, Holly.
Bye.
I still have faith in you. It's that supply. We did, it all comes down to none. Do I have it in me? I believe it is in them.
That is a little bit of I Still Have Faith in You, the lead-off track from the new, yes, new ABBA album, Voyage. I think there's about, oh, I don't know, 70 million people around the world have been waiting for this moment.
For 40 years. Yeah. 40 years.
Yeah. It's incredible the pop culture staying power that ABBA has had since they emerged in the 70s. They put this new album together, Voyage, their first in 40 years, while putting together this virtual tour. You know, the Avatars were going to be touring in London, right?
It's holograms, right?
Yeah, essentially, right. Yeah. And they started writing some new music for that virtual tour, and they realized, hey, look, we might as well just put a new album out because we've got the material for it. So Björn, Benny, Anafrid, and Agneta are together again. When you talk about 70s pop bands, you have to put ABBA at the very top 10, top 20 singles in the United States in that decade-long run. And the U.S. wasn't even the country where they were the most popular in the world.
No.
I mean, they were selling many more records
everywhere
else.
They owned Europe.
They were completely everywhere for a good long stretch of time. Then they broke up in 81. The couples in the band, you know, went their separate ways. Björn and Benny continued to write music, but here's the key, you know, it's not the same without Anafrid and Agneta singing those melodies. And that is what occurred over the years. He started to realize there's a tremendous yearning for that sound. Reemergence in the 90s, Muriel's Wedding, right? Big part of that movie. The Bjorn Again cover band, who could forget them?
Mamma Mia.
Erasure did an ABBA-esque EP, huge with the gay community. U2 was covering Dancing Queen on that Zoo TV tour. ABBA Gold in 1992. We did a whole show on that, Jim, a few years
ago. Episode 438.
Yes, with the author of the 33 and a third book on that particular album. That exploded. Once again, we saw a huge outgrowth of ABBA love around the world. And here's the new album, Voyage. We're going to play a track from it before we review it. Don't Shut Me Down is the name of the track from ABBA on Sound Opinions.
Don't Shut Me Down by ABBA from Voyage. Okay, Greg. ABBA Gold, 19 songs, 19 masterpieces, okay? That can mislead one, because if you dive into the 8 albums that they actually released up to Visitors in 1981, there was a lot of filler. Right?
Yeah.
19 perfect songs, right? ABBA Gold is pretty much all you need to hear, because there are other stray like moments of goodness, but there's also a lot of dross. And, you know, I have one word. You know, go to Bjorn and Benny's chess.
Yeah, right.
That's my one word. Yeah. Chess. I have nothing else to say about chess, all right? A musical about playing chess, right? And it's not like chess couldn't work in other forums. We just had a great TV show about it. Anyway, all right. Wow. They've lost the plot. You know, there's a song called Bumblebee, which is about the plight of the bees that we need to pollinate, that we need to live on Earth. Okay, I'm sympathetic. If it had hooks, if it had a hook as good as Waterloo or SOS or anything on ABBA Gold, I'd be fine.
It's quite absurd this summer morning to think we could be trapped inside the world where all is changing too fast for bumblebees to attack.
You know, the clearest sign of artistic bankruptcy, there's a Christmas track. And it's a lousy one.
Yeah.
Little Things, right?
Oh, what joy Santa brings. Thanks, old friend, for packing Christmas stockings full of nice little things.
The words, I don't know if Bjorn and Benny are putting into Agneta and Annie Fried's mouth. You know, all of these, you know, you can blame me. I was responsible. I failed you sentiments.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to leave that to the ABBA superfans to parse. What kills me is there are no hooks. And I also think digital technology is not serving these musical maestros well, because one of the charms of the ABBA hits is while they sounded as if they came from the future, they were very much rooted in analog technology. You want flutes? You got to hire orchestral flute players, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You want those analog synthesizers sound like nothing else, right? You know, they were unique, and this is just kind of professional and boring.
Yeah, it's very pro. There's no doubt about it. It's a weird pop group, though, still. I mean, some of those lyrics are kind of twisted. and you mentioned the Bumblebee song. I think that was their big ecology anthem.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And it's just kind of a little strange. You're writing a whole song about this bumblebee, and who else would write one except Bjorn and Benny, you know?
Yeah.
The song that killed me was I Can Be That Woman, where the dog is the like interventionist in the song, in the whole couple's relationship.
The dog
like,
is witnessing the couple fighting.
He's the most reasonable person in the room, the dog, you know. It's kind of like this weird little scenario.
And the dog, bless her heart, licks my fingers, but she jerks every time you swear.
Don't Shut Me Down, that track, Agneta, starts out with this really sad monologue at the start.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here in the park and it's empty.
A while ago I heard the sound of children's laughter. Now it's quiet, so I guess they left the park.
And should I go knock on the door of the person that was my lover, you know, decades ago, or even recognize me? It's kind of, and you realize they were singing all these forlorn songs about adult relationships. Even back then, they weren't talking about teen love, puppy love. They were talking about middle-aged couples going through stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like still Rumors. There. It's like Rumors by Fleetwood
right.
Mac. They're talking to each other through, you know, even if the women didn't write the words, the way they were delivering them.
But in the pop realm, what I'm saying is nobody's writing songs like that. You know, so they are unique. They are unique in pop history, I would say, in terms of what they've done. You know, just putting out these very schlocky, big, lush, beautiful sounding, but ultimately kind of vacuous songs about adult.
Well,
you know,
this is true.
Angst,
the adult angst is there, though, but those massive hooks.
Well,
where's Dancing Queen?
Here's where I figured it out. Right. Just a Notion, I think, is the best song on the album. And then I realized they wrote that in 1978.
They did.
They
it was
let
an
that off the Bully Voo record
right.
because it wasn't good enough back then.
Just a notion, but somehow I know I'm not wrong. There's something happening that I just can't explain. If I try,
Right. Right.
And now, the fact that it's the best song on something they did in 2021 tells you everything you need to know, that ABBA is not ABBA from 1978 anymore. It's a lesser version of its greatest self. That said, they're still going to sell a boatload of albums and a boatload of concert tickets whenever they go on tour.
I'm not going to see the Holograms. I'm not. I can't do it.
I'm not either, but you know, there's a lot of people who will.
Well, that wraps up our conversation, and now we want to hear from you. Do you have thoughts on Goat Girl or the new ABBA album? Mel Ballara, let us know. Leave a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. Mr. Cott, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up. We're going to play a bunch of songs about giving thanks.
Just be thankful for what you've got.
And we also have our bonus podcast. I'm going to be taking a trip to the desert island to play a song by one of the best voices in R&B history.
I'm eager to hear that. For more Sound Opinions, listen to our podcast wherever you find such things. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, and our intern, Mary Bernthal. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott.